it's always had a very checkered history. Because of course it belonged to the Baldwin family.
Yes,
I hear that. Mrs. Baldwin was the last survivor of it. She had three sons. And they all went in, out into World War One, fighting for World War One. And eventually all three were killed. So there was no heir to carry on. So that's when they had to sell the estate. And it was all sold up. It was sold up in 1932 or 3. I could just remember it. I remember going as a child. We used to run up and down the corridors when they were out. Because they sold basically everything, you know. Everything was sold. And of course, I think there were about 18 farms part of the Keir estate, because it was a big estate. And they had their own timber yard, and they had their own people that did all the repair work on all farms, so they had carpenters and masons and every trade that was. So they didn't get outside people to come in and do the work. They had enough staff, trained staff, to do everything that needed doing, you know. So it was a big community. And then when it was sold, a guy called George Heath bought it, who was in Bellingham in the motor trade. And he bought it as a sort of investment to cannibalise, really. He wasn't interested in coming to live there. So when all the goods and chattels were sold, he pulled a large part of the old house down and sold it all for demolition and rebuilding work. But because it was a beautiful house, and some of the ceilings, they had the very ornate ceilings. I don't know how they did it, but they took them down, and some of them landed. They sold them in America and all over the place. Yeah, a lot of their panelling and carved out doors were all sold to America. And then the other thing he did was he sold all the oak trees on the farms, because there were lots of old oak trees, you know, mature oak trees. So for about 5 years they were felling oak trees. And then he made enough money to out of it to pay more than pay for what he gave from it. And then we had this guy called Commander Screen who bought it, and he was the German. They always said he was the head spy for this region.
Really?
And he lived there with his wife, and they bred mink. And he used to drive around in these very big German Mercedes cars, you know. And they had a lot of it. People in the district helping them to rear these mink. And then about two or three weeks before war was declared, suddenly he wasn't here anymore, he'd gone.
Wow.
He left the house, the furniture, his cars and everything. He just went back to Germany. And then it was bought by Lord Clarendon, part of the Clarendon estate. But they never actually came to live here. They lived in London. And of course the war had started and there were lots of casualties, so he donated the house to the to be used as an army convalescent hospital. So first of all it was an army convalescent hospital for the South African troops that came over here and were wounded. That went on for the period of the war. And then they went back and it was closed down, and then Birmingham Corporation had it as a convalescent hospital for TB. Because there were a lot of tuberculosis around there. Well then of course tuberculosis, they found the cure with penicillin. So that ended. Then the Spastic Society had it, and they had it for about 20 years. And then they decided they'd all got to move out into the community and not live in institutions.
Yes.
So they were all housed all over the place. But then a family called Sellers bought it. Who had a printing and a business that made these promotional badges. These circular badges. And they must have had it for about 10 years, I should think. And then they got tired. And the garden, of course, had all gone into a wilderness during the war. And nobody recovered it. Well, the Sellers spent a lot of money clearing the garden, but it's a 28-acre garden. It's massive. Yes. Have you ever been around?
Yes, I have.
Right,
I really like it.
Right. Well, I mean, it was all brambles and
Mm.
All overgrown, you know. Mm. Well, they did a lot towards clearing it and restoring it.
Mm.
And then they decided they had enough and they went back to Scotland.
Mm.
They lived in, because some think of the place there, on the west coast of Scotland. Can't think of the name of it. It's a very remote place. Can't think. And the badge making business and the son moved to Stoke Lacey. Do you know Stoke Lacey on the way to Hereford?
No, I don't.
By the pub.
Right.
So the son runs the business and still continues with the badge making and the promotional stuff.
Mm.
And the father and the mother have gone up to Scotland.
Oh, right.
Well, then of course they sold it to this guy called, his name now, who's a property developer.
Oh, and this is the current owner.
Yeah, coming to his name. Not Rhys Jones, he's got a hyphenated name, something Jones or something. Mm. And he lives in London, and he has spent a fortune on it.
Really?
Oh, yeah, he basically gutted it and started again.
Right.
Spent millions of pounds on it.
Mm.
But he doesn't live there.
Mm.
He only has, I think, a couple of rooms up in the top because he's a bachelor.
Mm.
And he comes occasionally, you know.
Mm.
But nobody knows quite what it's going to be used for because it's been standing empty for 6 or 7 years since it's been completed. Yeah.
Gosh.
But he spent a massive amount of money on the garden and restored the rest of the garden.
The gardens are
cleaned all the lakes out and did a lot of work.
Mm.
So the garden is now in very good condition, as you've been around it.
Yeah,
yeah.
Not sure. They're doing some work
there now. Yeah, they're always doing work there. He seems to have loads of money.
Right.
As you go in the churchyard, the block on the left-hand side, which used to be the stable block, was built as a staff accommodation.
Oh, right.
When the, I think it was built as staff accommodation when the South African Red Cross had it, because they had to have nursing staff there.
Mm.
And I think it used to house about 30 at the start.
Oh, right.
And that's all gone derelict now.
Yeah.
And he doesn't seem to be restoring it.
Mm.
Because when he bought it, there were 9 tenants living in there.
Oh,
there were 9 different small domestic units, you know.
Yeah.
And he turned them all out and said he was going to restore it. Never did.
Oh, right.
So I guess he will do one day, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just derelict at the minute.
Yeah. It's a shame no one lives there. No.
Mm. There's a caretaker that lives, I forget where she lives now. She lives, oh, there's a bungalow in the, you know where the Tonic Barn is? Big barn.
Mm. Oh, yes.
There's 2 bungalows there and she lives in the one bungalow.
Oh, right.
Yeah.